All right, Saints, I'm going to go kind of fast through this. You may have to listen to this twice. I'm going to start in Isaiah chapter 7. In 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, actually, there's an awesome story, you know, of what God's going to do in these days. These are prophecies of what's coming. I'm going to prove that to you. 7 and 1 says, "And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz," that's the son of David, who was the son of Josam, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, "that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up to Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it." Okay, so we've already identified these in the past, but I'll do it for you again. Ahaz here is the son of David over the bride, Jerusalem. And Rezin is the king of Syria. He represents the tares that mixed in with the wheat. Pekah, the son of Remaliah, the king of Israel, that's the wheat. As you know, the bride is not the wheat harvest. It's the first fruits harvest. So there's a mixing here. They joined forces to come against the bride. And, of course, they failed. He tells you right off that they failed. But the tares obviously represents people that are not God's people, but they're mixed in among God's people, just as Jesus said. They know how to talk the talk, but they don't know how to walk the walk, because tares don't bear fruit, right? So they're mixed in among apostate Israel here to try to overthrow the bride. Let's read on. Verse 2. "And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim." Of course, that's a no-no in God's eyes. I mean, he always judges his people when they join with the wicked, right? "And his heart trembled," because this was a mighty army, right? "And the heart of his people, as the trees of the forest trembled with the wind. Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, Go forth now to meet with Ahaz." Ahaz, again, being the son of David, representing the Davidic leadership over the bride, the man-child over the bride. He said, "Thou and Shear-Jashub, thy son." And Shear-Jashub means a remnant shall return. A remnant shall return. That's very important, because this is the fruit of the man-child, a remnant that has turned against them but shall return. So we know what that is. It's a remnant of the faction. That is a worldwide remnant of the faction. And Ahaz, thou and Shear-Jashub, thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool, in the highway of the fuller's field, and say unto him, Take heed, and be quiet, and fear not, neither let thy heart be faint because of these two tales of a smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin and Syria, and of the son of Remaliah. He's telling him, don't be afraid, don't worry about it, just be quiet, rest. And verse 5, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have purposed evil against thee. Against who? Against the son of David. Saying, let us go up against Judah and vex it, which they have done, and let us make a breach therein for us and set up a king in the midst of it. In other words, they wanted to overthrow the throne of David and set up their own king. That sounds familiar, because we're very familiar with that around here. We've seen that from the beginning of the faction movement, and we know it's a worldwide thing because the Lord's told us it was. And even the son of Tabeel. Now, the word Tabeel here hasn't been translated. It means the one good for us. The one good for us. Who is us? Us is Syria and apostate Israel. And they wanted to put somebody over the kingdom of Judah, over the bride, who was good for them. And that, of course, was Remaliah's son Pekah. They wanted to promote this apostate leadership over the bride because it would be good for them. Obviously, the son of David had no favor for the apostasy in apostate Israel, nor the Syrians. So let's read on. Thus saith the Lord, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. The Lord is saying, it's not going to happen. They can't do it. They've made a plan that they can't, they've conceived a plan that they can't fulfill. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin, and within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken in pieces, so that it shall not be a people. They'll be scattered, as the Lord has told us many, many times. The apostates that come against David and the bride will be scattered, broken in pieces and scattered. Even by their own hands they will do this. And so that it shall not be a people. So God is saying basically, don't worry about this conspiracy. It's not going to affect you. They will not overthrow you, etc., etc. The hand of Ephraim is Samaria. Excuse me, the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. And of course, you know, these are the people who followed the golden calf and called him the Lord, gave God's name to these golden calves, gave apostate false ministers who were not Levites to be their heads. And so God desired to bring them down. And in the tribulation, folks, this is what's going to happen. This is who's going to be conquered, is the apostates who have rebelled against God, put up false leaders, bowed to a false Jesus, their Baal, so to speak, and the Lord is going to bring them down. He's raising up a beast kingdom against them. In this text, as we read on, we'll see that the beast kingdom is Assyria. We've studied that before. We studied the second Sennacherib scenario, you know, how that they came. They conquered. Assyria conquered all of the northern 10 tribes, the apostate tribes, and Syria, and conquered Judah that was outside the bounds of Zion, outside the temple of God, etc., etc., away from the presence of God. They were all conquered by the Assyrian beast. Now, I want to say something to you about the Assyrian beast. In the natural, I saw in a vision in 1998 the U.S. as Nineveh, which was the head of the world beast, the world Assyrian beast. Now, that's a natural parable, but it's still true. This country is going to fight and use the world to come against Christianity. Now, the beast is both spiritual and physical. That's the physical part I just spoke about. But there is also a spiritual revelation here, and that is that the Assyrian beast is a demon army that's coming to conquer the faction, the tares, etc., etc. It will separate the wheat from the tares. There will be a division. That's God's plan. It's sad to say many of those that we call wheat will not bear enough fruit to be saved either. But this beast is going to do this separation, and it's going to scatter them and put many to death. And so let me read on now that we've identified the beast that's coming against them. And this is the reason, by the way, that they will not be able to conquer David or the bride. Okay, the man child or the bride, they will not be able to conquer them because they will be being conquered. This is both happening in the spirit, as I've told you many times, it's happening in the spirit and it's going to happen in the natural. The people in apostasy are being conquered by a demon army from the pit. How many of you know that that men are both spirit and body? And that's why I pointed out the natural and the spiritual here. Right? So they're being, by this demon army, the people of apostasy are being conquered and the people of holiness are not. It's going to be that simple. Verse 10. And the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, who was the king of Judah, right? David, son of David. Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, Hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, that you will weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now this is very interesting. It has really confused an awful lot of theologians. We're talking about the time of the Assyrian Empire. You know, the larger beast empires were Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media-Persia, Greece, Rome, and then revived Rome. And this is during the Assyrian Empire. But Jesus, who this prophesies of, did not live until the Roman Empire. Okay? That's Egypt. Assyria, this is the present one here. Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and then Rome. That's when Jesus lived. These five empires later. And that confuses people because this sign that he gave him was not fulfilled until Jesus' time. Let me point something out to you. That was in the Roman Empire in Jesus' day, and it's in the Roman Empire in the man-child in our day. Do you remember the image of the beast? How that the iron was that Roman Empire that went all the way down the legs to the 10 toes, and there was still iron there, iron and clay mixed together in the toes, which is in our day, the 10 kings in our day. And in our day, of course, the stone that rolled down out of the mountain smote it in the feet and destroyed that beast. Okay? And that is Jesus in the man-child in our day. There's a perfect parallel between Jesus' day and our day. They're both in the Roman Empire, but they were not in the Assyrian Empire. The whole context of this parable is in the time of the Assyrian Empire. So why is it that he's giving them this sign? First of all, this sign, the word sign here is the word uth. It means a sign of something to come. We know that Jesus and the Virgin Mary were a sign of something even bigger to come later, when Jesus planned to come in a corporate body in Revelation chapter 12. See, Jesus said in John 16 that he was going to come again as a baby, a man-child, born to a woman. And he told his disciples, you're the woman. And then you read all the way through the Bible to the disciples in the end time, and you see the man-child born of the woman, teaching the woman for 3.5 years in the beginning, right there in Revelation chapter 12. Just like Jesus, a repeat of history, but on a larger scale, because the woman there is the church, and the man-child there is Christ in the first fruits, man-child, of the end times. And so we're seeing history repeat as it must, according to the Bible. The things that have been are the things that shall be. The things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun, the Bible declares. So we know that's the only way to find true revelation here. Okay, so first of all, this sign is a sign that what he told Ahaz, the son of David, about these people coming against him was true. It was a sign. It was going to come true. That, you know, the Ahaz represented the son of David, but there is an anointing coming upon David, who is tending to his father's flock, and Joseph, who is also doing the same. They're here, but they haven't been anointed to rule yet. And so this anointing is coming too. And this sign that he's giving is a sign for our day. Why do I say that? Because God showed me the Assyrian Empire in our day. And he's shown it to many, many people. When they've asked of the Lord a word concerning the faction and things, they've been shown many times all through the Bible the Sennacherib scenario, the conquering of the faction, and the conquering of this Assyrian beast as it attempted to conquer the son of David and the bride. Okay, so we've seen this, and we know that in this day, this is a sign of what's going to happen. All of the beasts are signs for the end time beast, but this one in particular is a parable that points out a certain thing, and other parables point out other things. But so it doesn't make sense that this sign would happen, and it didn't happen. He just spoke it. He spoke it, but it did not come to pass. Then it came to pass, like I said, in the Roman Empire. But it was a sign to him that this was going to happen, that the man-child would conquer the apostate people coming against the bride and the tares with them, that they would be conquered. This was a sign. This was the child right here. Jesus is the one, right? Praise be to God. So as we read on, just remember that, because we know this is a sign for now, because now we do have the man-child being born to the woman, and we do have the Assyrian Empire in a spiritual type. This is happening now. So now this makes sense. It hasn't made sense to many, many people for a long, long time. But now this makes sense. Now this prophecy in full is going to be fulfilled. If you took Jesus and the Virgin Mary out of this context, you would say that's Jesus and the Virgin Mary. You'd be right. But when you put it in the context, now you've got an end-time prophecy, because the context depicts all the things that go on around the outside of this. Okay? So let's pay attention and see what the Lord shows us here. We'll read on, okay? Verse 15, butter and honey shall he eat when he knoweth to refuse the evil and choose the good. He's talking about the child growing up, like Jesus grew up in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with man, the Bible says. He grew up as a child. There was no sin imputed to him, because even as a child he was growing in and being obedient as to what he knew. He was growing in wisdom and stature and in favor or grace with God and man. Okay? For before the child can know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings thou abhorrest shall be forsaken. Well, you know something? The spirit of the beast is conquering these people. They are not in their promised land. They are gone into captivity. That's what happened to these people. Okay? Things are going to change when the man-child is anointed to rule. 17. The Lord will bring upon thee and upon thy people and upon thy father's house days that have not come from the day that Ephraim departed from Judah. Ephraim, the northern 10 tribes, factioned against Judah and against the ordained son of David. They factioned and rebelled and made their own gods and made their own preachers. They rebelled. And what is this that's going to come upon them? Well, even the king of Assyria. All right. The king of Assyria is coming to judge the faction. You say, how can they do that and not get the bride? Because God is sovereign and almighty. And he is going to, as birds hovering, protect Jerusalem. You know what that means? Like angels. Angels. If one angel can kill 185,000 Assyrians, what do you think one angel standing next to you could do if you walked in holiness and weren't under the curse? Well, amen. So that's what the bride represents. Someone who walks in holiness and is not under the curse. By the way, Assyria is going to conquer all of Judah, but not Jerusalem. Okay? And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will hiss for the fly that is in the uttermost parts of the rivers of Egypt, and for the bee that is in the land of Assyria. And they shall come and shall rest all of them in the desolate valleys and in the clefts of the rock and upon all the thorn hedges and upon all pastures. This is an invasion of the beast army coming to take out those people that can be conquered by the beast, right? Remember, on the road of holiness that leads to Zion, no beast can go up thereon, Isaiah said. In other words, holiness is righteousness delivereth from death. Okay, many Christians are going to die. Many are going to die. It is because they're in this larger part of what we call the church here in apostate Israel. And many of them are going to die for their faith, in order to confess their Lord. And this is not bad because it's the way they're going to enter the kingdom. But the beast army is going to conquer the apostate Christians and the tares that are in the midst of them. And matter of fact, the tares are going to depart and turn against the people of God that are in apostasy. There will be a division in their midst. And that's what you sow, you reap. If you sow faction, like Israel did, they sowed faction, they deceived people, they got people to worship a false god. If you sow it, you're going to reap it. Faction will come into your midst. You will be scattered, as we just read in the first part of this chapter, right? In that day will the Lord shave with a razor that is hired in the parts beyond the river, even with the king of Assyria, the head and the hair of the feet, and it shall also consume the beard. And I would say this is probably that 185,000 that were cut off, you know. And it shall come to pass in that day that a man shall keep alive a young cow and two sheep. And it shall come to pass that because of the abundance of milk which they shall give, he shall eat butter. For butter and honey shall everyone eat that is left in the midst of the land. Who was left in the midst of the land? The bride, the remnant that was left in the midst of the land. And look what they're eating, butter and honey. What is that? That's the same food that the man child ate. See, now, that food is being prepared. The Lord has shown us that over and over and over. That food is being prepared. The woman, the remnant that is not conquered by the beast, the bride that is not conquered by the beast, is going to be receiving the same food from the man-child that the man-child ate. Praise be to God. So eat your Wheaties. Right? I'm going to verse 23. And it shall come to pass in that day that every place where there were 1,000 vines at 1,000 silverlings shall be for briars and thorns. Of course, he's talking about the apostates here. With arrows and with bows shall one come thither, because all the land shall be briars and thorns. Yes, the apostates who chose their own God, their own image of God, rebelled against the word of God that came from Isaiah. Isaiah was also a type of the man-child because his name meant the same thing as Jesus' name. YHWH is salvation. And he was caught up to the throne and was sent forth, right? And that was in the chapter just before this one, chapter 6. So, pretty neat parables, you know. But he said they were briars and thorns, these apostates, and people would come against them with bows and arrows and spears, right? Because the land shall be briars and thorns, and all the hills that were digged with the mattock, thou shalt not come hither for fear of briars and thorns, but it shall be for the sending forth of oxen and for the treading of sheep. Well, you know what the sending forth of the oxen is, right? You know, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treads out the corn, right? It's talking about evangelists. Evangelists are going to go forth, the Bible says, out of Zion to reach these people who are under the yoke of the beast, under threat of death, need to hear the real true gospel because their preachers don't know it. Their preachers weren't ordained ministers anyway. And so the truth, the word, will go forth out of Zion. And great evangelists to raise up, just exactly like it was in Jesus' day. I'm not saying anything that hadn't already happened. I mean, it all happened in Jesus' day. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, and the bridegroom was Jesus, the man-child who sent forth his disciples as the bride. And the apostates, of course, are the people that attack Israel, even in our day. And chapter 8, and the Lord said unto me, take thee a great tablet, and write upon it with the pen of a man. For Maher Shalal Hashbaz, and that means the spoil speedeth, the prey hasteth. So now, he's telling the son of David here, Ahaz, that this thing is coming quickly. This plunder is going to come quickly. No, it won't come against them by Syria or apostate Israel. The plundering he's talking about is the Assyrian Empire going to plunder these people because God put it in their heart to do so, as Isaiah chapter 10 also says. He put it in their heart to do this. And I will take unto me faithful witnesses to record. Yep, the Lord is going to send forth many faithful witnesses through the hand of the man-child, just like Jesus did. He sent them forth two by two. They were two corporate witnesses. And that's exactly what's going to happen in our day. And he said, Uriah the priest and Zechariah the son of Jeberechiah. And I went unto the prophetess, and she conceived and bare a son. Then said the Lord unto me, call his name, what? The same thing, Maher Shalal Hashbaz. The spoil speedeth, the prey hasteth. For before the child shall have knowledge to cry, my father and my mother, the riches of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria shall be carried away before the king of Assyria. Now this is the spiritual taking away, taking captive. I'm talking about, and I've seen it, and some of you have seen it too, I'm talking about people becoming demon-possessed because they would not receive the fear of the Lord or the obedience of the Lord, and they came against God's Son. And, you know, whatsoever you've done to the least of these, my brethren, Jesus said, you've done it unto me. So they have come against God's Son, who is the one who sits on the throne. And we can see here very plainly that even before the man-child has come to the throne, that this spiritual captivity has happened. And it is. It has happened. God's people have been taken by every foolish, demon-possessed doctrine that's come down the road. You know, we talk a lot about the false revival movement, the false prophetic movement, the faction movement. I noticed from the very beginning of the false revival movement that when one of our brethren, even somebody that I knew, got hands laid on with that stuff, They immediately hated me. They immediately hated me. And the same thing with the faction movement. They immediately hated me. They turned against me. The Lord told me I was a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. But that's what Jesus was too. And that's what all of his prophets were too, by the way, friends. So there's nothing wrong with that. That's needed. You have to tell people the truth. And if they don't like the truth, that'll cause them to stumble. I mean, verse 5. The Lord spake unto me yet again, saying, Forasmuch as this people have refused the waters of Shiloh that go softly, they've refused to have peace with anybody, don't they? And rejoice in Rezin and Remaliah's son, who is Pekah. They rejoice in the apostates, and they rejoice in the tares that are all mixed in together now to come against Judah. Now therefore, behold, the Lord bringeth up upon them the waters of the river, strong and many, even the king of Assyria, and all his glory. And it shall come up over all of its channels, and go over all of its banks. When the enemy comes in like a flood, right? And it shall sweep onward into Judah, which it did. It shall overflow and pass through, which it did. It shall reach even unto the neck. And in other words, this is a cleansing. This is a crucifying. This beast is coming to crucify God's people who have refused their cross, who have refused to follow their true Jesus Christ. Instead, they follow their Baal. Stretching out of its wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel. Okay, so what is that land? All of that's God's land. Emmanuel is God with us. Has God ever quit being with us? Hasn't Emmanuel continued to be with us? Well, of course, you know, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus was Emmanuel in the natural and in the ooth, or the sign. Jesus was, because the Son of God came in the Son of Man to preach the gospel to Israel and to be the Savior and to be the sacrifice. And now he's telling us to do the same thing. Take up our cross and follow him. And how can we do it except, of course, Jesus lives in us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Isn't the body of Christ still the body of Christ? It's just much larger, right? In other words, history continues to repeat with larger and larger casts of characters. So, the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel. Now remember that Emmanuel, Jesus, the sign, wasn't born until the Roman Empire. We're still talking about this in the middle of the context that's speaking about the Assyrian Empire. And the reason is that particular beast has a type and shadow that is important for us to see right now. I mean, all those beasts have types and shadows that are important, but that one has this particular one, and that is that it was not able to conquer the bride. It was only able to conquer the apostates. That's what's important. And that's why Emmanuel fits in here perfectly in the time of our man-child in these days. Because he is nothing without Jesus, Christ in you, the hope of glory. They are the first fruits of those who have Christ in you, the hope of glory. This man-child in our day. And that's why it fits perfectly in this context in our day. Because the parable is all being fulfilled. These things were hidden from the people who only understood the letter. And it's hidden from most of God's people today because they don't seek God or seek truth. If you seek truth, God will put it in front of your nose. I guarantee it. So this Assyrian Empire was pouring through God's country, right? You fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel. And guess who stood up to fight against this Assyrian beast? And guess who lost? That's right, the apostates. From Judah to apostate Israel to the tares among them, they stood up to fight and they all were obliterated. And guess what's going to happen too, saints, is the Christians, the apostate Christians are going to stand up to fight. And they're going to lose. And they're going to be scattered. It says, verse 9, make an uproar, O ye peoples, and be broken in pieces. What did we just see in chapter 7 and verse 8? He said they would be broken in pieces. I quote, Ephraim, the northern 10 tribes, would be broken in pieces. So that shall not be a people. Listen, what we have seen of organized Christianity is gone. It's going quickly, and the beast is coming to totally destroy it. There will be an underground church. That will give God's people a chance to grow up in Him and to come out from among them and get on the road of holiness where no beast has authority, right? Make an uproar, O ye peoples, and be broken in pieces. And give ear, all ye of far countries. This is a worldwide thing, saints. Gird yourselves, that means with your weapons, and be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves and be broken in pieces. In other words, try to defend yourself. You don't have God defending you. The Lord's angels won't defend you. You're out from under the blood. You're following the devil. You don't care to be obedient to God's word. Who is going to defend you? Nobody. So therefore, who's going to defend you? Yourself. And guess what? You're going to be broken in pieces. If you don't follow God's word, you're going to be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, and it shall be brought to naught. Oh yeah. They are going to join together to try to fight this beast, but they are going to totally fail. Both, in both ways, the spiritual beast and the physical beast. The United States at the head of the nations. They're going to be broken in pieces. You shall be brought to naught. Speak the word, because some of them do. They speak the word. It shall not stand. For God is with us. Who is He with? Well, I could tell you He's with Judah as opposed to the Israel, and He's with not only Judah, but the Judah that's in Jerusalem. God is with us. His whole land was taken over, except for Jerusalem. This flood came through the whole land and washed right through even Judah, but it didn't take Jerusalem. So you can speak the word. You can confess it till you're blue in the face. It ain't going to happen. And it's because you got no authority. Okay? For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me not to walk in the way of this people, saying, say ye not a conspiracy concerning all whereof this people shall say a conspiracy. Yeah, the conspiracy is them. They're conspiring against God. They're conspired to overthrow the throne of David. They conspired to overthrow the David ministries, the man-child ministries, and their word, and the bride. That's what they're conspiring to overthrow. Neither fear ye their fear. Yeah, they're going to be full of fear because of the beast. The bride won't, nor will the man-child be. Nor be in dread thereof. The Lord of hosts, Him shall you sanctify. Let Him be your fear. Let Him be your dread. Verse 14. And He shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense. See, Jesus, people, we can abide in Jesus. He will be for a sanctuary to those that will abide in Him. But He's also a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both of the houses of Israel. That's Judah and Israel. Stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble at the word being disobedient, the New Testament says. You know, when you tell people this is what the Word says and they ignore you and they go on about their business because they believe it profits them, they just stumbled. And what's going to happen to the people that stumble? Well, that's what the beast is being raised up for. He'll pick them up. He'll pick them up and put them on a cross. For a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, when you speak the word, the people are responsible. When they rebel against the word, it becomes their trap. They try to trap the Davids and the bride. They try to overthrow them. They try to rule over them, but they failed. And the beast comes instead. And many shall stumble thereon and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. All those people who failed to conquer the bride are going to be taken. What, where? To their cross. Bind thou up the testimony. This is the solution for anyone who is in rebellion against God, doing their own thing, has not sought God. They took the word of these people that are not Levites in the first place, never been sent by God. If you got preachers that have not been ordained of God, went to Bible school, got a certificate, and they use that for authority to go and take over churches, creep into houses of silly women laden with sins, and take over these silly churches, they're not ordained of God. You've got no leadership. You've got no voice from God. You need to seek God for yourself. You need to seek the Word of God, seek the truth, and cry out to God. God, send me truth. I want truth. And then when He sends it, obey Him. Bind thou up the testimony. Seal the law among my, what? Disciples. These are the only people that are going to obey the disciples, which is a learner and a follower. The rest are not obeying, and they're not going to obey in many cases until they're taken to their cross, right? Many people will have to die to enter the kingdom in these days. God loves all of His people, even the ones that are in rebellion. And many will have to not deny the Lord, confess Him while they go to their cross, while they get their heads cut off, while many other ways, whatever, you know, whatever the method is, you know. And I will wait for the Lord that hideth His face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for Him. Well, that's interesting. That's very, very close to a verse I got this morning by faith at random, Isaiah 64. I'll read it to you. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, and that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might quake at thy presence. It sounds like Isaiah 29, the Sennacherib scenario, when the Lord did visit His people and judge, as when fire kindleth the brushwood, and the fire causeth the water to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries. Oh, they're going to know the name of the Lord. They're going to know the fear of the Lord. That the nations may tremble at thy presence when thou didst terrible things which we looked not for. Yep, the church is not looking for what's coming. Truly, not looking for what's coming. But it's the only thing that'll be able to jar them loose from their complacency and cause them to seek furiously the kingdom of God. When thou didst terrible things, which we looked not for, thou camest down. When does the Bible say that the Lord is coming down? Hosea chapter 6, 2 and 3. He's coming on the morning of the third day at the latter rain. That's what He said. When He comes down, the mountains quake. And when, by the way, that's the anointing of the man-child, too. The mountains quaked at thy presence, for from of old men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen a God besides thee, who worketh for him that waiteth for him. He works for those that are waiting for him. Now, back to Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 17. I will wait for the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Be patient, saints. Don't worry about the people that are trying to destroy the kingdom of God. Do you know where the kingdom of God was? There was only one place there was the kingdom of God. It was what they were trying to overthrow. It was what their armies were coming against. The apostate people of God were trying to overthrow the kingdom of God. I read that in chapter 7. That's the only place the kingdom of God was. They didn't have the kingdom of God. They had false leaders, false God, everything. No kingdom. They weren't walking in the kingdom. They were born to walk in the kingdom, but they weren't doing it. And they're not. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, who dwelleth in Mount Zion. There's the kingdom of God right there. Who dwelleth in Mount Zion? I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders. That's Jesus and his disciples. That's the man-child and the two witnesses, the man-child and the bride going forth, right? And they're for signs and wonders. And where are they coming out of? Mount Zion. Who is the first people they're going to evangelize? Well, the people that are just lost, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They're going to evangelize these apostates. And as you know, these are the very people that killed the apostles and Jesus. Okay? So, let's read on. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto the wizards that chirp and that mutter, should not a people seek to their God? On behalf of the living, should they seek unto the dead? To the law and to the testimony. Remember he said, bind up the testimony among my disciples. The law among my disciples. To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, surely there is no mourning for them. Oh my goodness. That doesn't give you a prayer if you're not going to speak according to this word. And they shall pass through it, sore distressed and hungry, and it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, that they shall fret themselves and curse by their king and by their God. You know, we've had curses thrown at us from the apostates for some time. And sometimes we even see a little bit of manifestation so we can cast it down, right? This is their Baal false Jesus. They like to turn people over to the devil. But it's just witchcraft when it comes from wicked people against the righteous, right? They shall fret themselves and curse by their king and by their God and turn their faces upward. And they shall look unto the earth and behold distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish. And into thick darkness they shall be driven away. See, folks, God's going to make it very, very hard on the apostates. It don't matter which cult they're in. He's going to make it very, very hard on them till they decide they're going to go God's way. It's going to be rough. The demons are going to ride roughshod over them. And the people of the earth and the wicked, etc., etc., and the Assyrian beast. They're going to destroy them. All of Christianity is going to go underground, saints. And chapter 9. Now here we go again. We're going to start seeing quotes from the time of Jesus, you know, in the midst of this Assyrian Empire. Because chapter 8 and chapter 10 is all about the Assyrian Empire conquering God's people. And now we're talking about Jesus being manifested in the midst of this. You know what that says? It says distinctly that the first Jesus, who was born of the Virgin Mary and came in a son of David, was an oath. It was a sign of what he himself was going to do on a much larger scale. He said he had to go away. Why? So that he could come back as the reign and be multiplied in a people to go forth and do a much larger job. And it is a much larger job now. No individual body could contain anybody that could do this job in this day. Jesus is coming in his body, the body of Christ. And guess who lives in the body of Christ? Yes, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to empower it and to do the same thing he did 2,000 years ago, right? And so, this is what's this judgment that he sends upon the apostates. And then verse chapter 9 says, "But there shall be no gloom to her that was in anguish." Oh, glory be to God. "In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali." Of course, they were all conquered by the beast, weren't they? Yeah, they were all conquered by the Assyrian Empire. And that's the point he's making here, is this new world beast, of which America is at the head of, is going to make war against the saints. I guess most of you can see that coming, can't you? "But in the latter time hath he made it glorious by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles," or nations, right? You remember how Jesus preached in these places, and they saw a great light. And he preached in Galilee of the Gentiles, right? People don't know, the Jews don't know, that their Messiah came to preach among the Gentiles too. They don't know that. "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light," quoted, of course, in the New Testament, right? "They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." Oh, glory be to God. And this is, of course, still talking about apostate people who were conquered by the Assyrian beast. But you know what? A remnant shall return. Shear Jashub. Right? A remnant shall return. It will be the fruit of the man-child. You remember when Jesus got up and preached and crowds gathered around him? Well, it wasn't just Judah that was gathering around him. He preached in these places of people that were conquered by the beast, right? "Thou hast multiplied the nation." And he certainly did that, didn't he? And will he do it again? Oh, yeah. "Thou hast increased their joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest." Wow. Now, what harvest is he talking about here? He's not talking about the first fruits harvest. He's talking about the ingathering harvest. Right? The first fruits was the man-child and then the bride, right? "As men rejoice when they divide the spoil." Oh, praise God. You know, remember what Jesus said to us too. You know, he bound the strong man. He commanded us to take the spoil. Or what? We would be scattered. Everybody that doesn't take the spoil of the old man is scattered. If you don't plunder your old man for the kingdom of God, you're going to be scattered. Notice, all the apostates here were scattered. "For the yoke of this burden and the staff of his shoulder the rod of his oppressor thou hast broken, as in the day of Midian. Now, he says pretty much the same thing in Isaiah chapter 10, where the Assyrian came against the people of God. And when he got through doing his job, then the Lord smote him. Right? America's going to be smitten, folks. But don't you believe... I mean, obviously, there's curses rolling across America constantly. But this judgment that's coming upon America that some people are saying is coming now, that's just totally false. The Lord uses the beast, first of all, to bring God's people to their cross. Judgment must begin at the house of God. He first uses the beast to conquer his rebellious people. Then, and only then, will he destroy that beast. The ten kings destroy and devour the harlot. Then he destroys them. So people are crying out now, flee the country, flee the country, you know, because this is getting ready to happen. No, they don't know what they're talking about. They're just full of fear because that's all they preach and teach. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, thou hast broken as in the day of Midian. For all the armor, and again, that day of Midian is in chapter 10 again, so all the armor of the armed man in the tumult and the garments rolled in blood shall be for burning, for fuel of the fire. For unto us a child is born. There he is, right there, you know, right in the midst of the Assyrian Empire where he never lived, you know. But today he does live in the midst of the Assyrian Empire, because now is when this parable is being fulfilled of the Assyrians. It happened back in the time of the Assyrian Empire in the letter to the letter people. But now it's coming in the spirit to the spirit people. First the natural, then the spiritual, right? Okay? So why? Because now the much larger people of God worldwide, those who are Israelites circumcised in heart worldwide, need a worldwide beast to bring them to their cross. And when it was little Israel, they never needed any more than those old empires to conquer them and to bring them to their cross. So now this child that's being raised up is the one that God is going to use, like he used Moses and like he used Joseph and like he used David, to speak the words that bring down not only the apostate kingdom, but the beast kingdom. Not only the harlot, but the beast kingdom. Yes, if you're an apostate and you're away from God and you're doing your own thing, you're a member of the harlot. You need to come out from the midst of them and be separate, saith the Lord. And don't touch the unclean thing. And I'll be to you a father, and you shall be to me sons and daughters. He's saying you're not a son and a daughter if you're out there doing your own thing. You better find out what the Word of God says and obey it. And he will give you the grace to do that too. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And this is the same child in chapter 7, 14 and 15, and chapter 8, 17 and 18. He's coming to authority. He's going to rule. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And they tried to overthrow the son of David. The apostates did. They didn't recognize him any more than their fathers, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, did. Right? And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, or Father of Eternity, literally, Prince of Peace. And we know that to be Jesus. And it's Jesus in you, just as it was Jesus in that first body. Emmanuel, because he's still with us. The parable is being fulfilled on a much larger scale. He's Emmanuel, God with us. He's going to be in the man-child first completely, because that's the first fruits of Christ in you, the hope of glory. It'll be Emmanuel there. And he's going to, through that body, bring down the world, the kingdom of this world. Just like Moses brought down Egypt, right? It wasn't Moses. It was the Spirit of Jesus in him that did that. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. Oh, glory be to God. Well, where do you get that peace? Well, you have to be under him. You know, he's in Zion. You have to be under him, right? Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from henceforth even forever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Oh, yes, the Lord is zealous to bring to pass his kingdom, to bring forth his bride and show her off to this world, right? Glory be to God. And he goes back to talking about conquered Israel in captivity, etc., etc. The Lord sent a word into Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel. And all the people shall know, even Ephraim, and the inhabitants of Samaria, that say in their pride and in the stoutness of heart, listen, the bricks are fallen, but we will build with hewn stone. The sycamores are cut down, but we will put cedars in their place. Now, did you notice something about this text? I mean, it's been being preached that it's talking to America, but you know that's a bunch of baloney. He's talking to God's people here. They're saying this. They've been conquered. They've been scattered. They're going to rebuild, they say. This is God's people that are saying this. When you know the letter, that's all you know. You just don't, you know, it doesn't fit, you know. So this is the harbinger, right? The real, true harbinger. And who it's really talking about in this text, too, is God's people in rebellion. God's not judging the world. He's going to use the world to judge his people. He's judging his people. Yes, the world is crumbling for the sake of God's people, that they can go to their cross so that there will be a wilderness. Yes, it's crumbling. That's the main purpose. Then God's going to judge the world. Right now, he's using the world to judge his people. Therefore, the Lord will set up on high against him the adversaries of Rezin and will stir up his enemies, the Syrians before and the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with open mouth. Look, all the little beasts are showing up here now, right? To devour Israel with open mouth. The Lord is sending them to their cross. It's sad to say that some of Israel will be devoured, meaning they will be inside the beast. And he said, for all this, his anger is not turned away. The Lord is, why is this? Because we don't have any time left. This must happen now. This has got to happen. People have to repent. God will turn up the fire as hot as he has to make it to cause people to repent, because he has no choice. It's not like you've got another 50 years to get straight. Many Christians are dying every day because they don't get straight. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Yet the people have not turned unto him that smote them. You know why? Because they don't believe God's sovereign. They just say the devil's persecuting us because we're God's people. That's crazy. You know, they don't believe in the sovereignty of God. They don't look behind the devil and see God back there. Remember Job? God picked everything that the devil could do to Job. He declared, you can go this far and no further. Listen, it's God. But you know, when the world conquers you, when your religion's falling all apart, because you put together your little kingdom there and it's all crumbling and nothing's happening right. Guess what? That ain't God's kingdom. The gates of hell won't prevail against God's kingdom. And they're going to conquer everything but the bride. And the point is obvious. The point is anybody that gets conquered is not in the bride and not supposed to be there. They're not in the bride and they're not supposed to be there because the beast is not able to conquer the bride. So this, in this way, God is cleansing his bride of anybody that thought they were in the bride and thought they should be hanging out around the bride, but the Lord said, no, you're being conquered by the beast. So you're not in the bride. You're not on the highway of holiness. No beast can come on the highway of holiness. You're not on that. See, God is talking to his people now by the things that are happening. They are stumbling and falling apart. Yet the people have not turned unto him that smote them, neither have they sought the Lord of hosts. Therefore the Lord will cut off from Israel head and tail, palm, branch, and rush in one day. Ooh. You know how he can do that? Reprobation. The elder and the honorable man, he is the head, and the prophet that teacheth lies, he is the tail. You know, we've got lots and lots of dreams. I keep files on all the dreams that I receive from people, and I drop them in the right place, whoever that it's about or whatever, you know. And I'm going to tell you something. There is a great reprobation coming. Just like in Jesus' day, he told his disciples, unto you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it is not given. He was not even offering them a chance. They had their chance and blew it. He's not offering it. And if he says he can do it in 1 hour, I believe him. For they that lead this people cause them to err. They that are led of them are destroyed. I've seen it happen, and it's a disgusting thing. People following a disgusting reprobate who's only got selfish ambition, seeking to overthrow the people that God's ordained, just like in this text, and they're destroyed. They can't see right from wrong. They don't know it. It gets worse and worse. They're at each other's throats. As in this text, you're going to find out. You say, if you sow faction, you're going to reap faction. Watch. Watch. Just keep reading. Watch. Therefore, the Lord will not rejoice over their young men, neither will he have compassion on their fatherless and widows. You say the Lord wouldn't do that. He's doing it. I've watched the parents fall away and the children fall right with them. The children might have been pretty clean cut at one time, but suddenly they're into fornication and pot smoking and everything else. They go their own way. Drunkenness. He will not have compassion on their fatherless and widows, for every one is profane, an evildoer, and every mouth speaketh folly. And for all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Oh my. I'm telling you, he's going to turn the fire up and turn it up and turn it up, and he's not going to give up until people turn or die. It's just got to happen. We don't have that much time left. It has to happen. The Lord is dealing differently, is going to move differently with his church, because he has no choice. For wickedness burneth as the fire. It devoureth the briars and the thorns. There you go. Yea, it kindleth in the thickets of the forest, and they roll upward in a column of smoke. Through the wrath of the Lord of hosts is the land burnt up, and the people are as the fuel of fire. No man spareth his brother. Here you go. Now watch. You know, talking about how faction destroys families. I know Belinda just had a dream of a family that suddenly they were at each other's throats. They were angry. They were railing at each other, splitting up and going different directions. Well, we've had dreams like that before of the factious people. We've had that before because they're going to reap what they've sown. And it's not just them. It's a lot of apostates. Everything is going to fall apart. They're going to be, what? Broken in pieces. That's what he said. No man spareth his brother, and one shall snatch on the right hand and be hungry. In other words, they'll take what don't belong to him. And they've done that. And he shall eat on the left hand, and they shall not be satisfied. They shall eat every man the flesh of his own arm. In other words, they're going to be biting and devouring one another, just as the Bible says they will. Manasseh, Ephraim, and Ephraim, Manasseh. And brother against brother, right? Totally divided. Totally factioned. Now these people factioned against Judah. Now God's faction in them. And they together shall be against Judah. There it is. Their faction. They're still against Judah, but they got their hands busy. Right? They're taking care of each other. Just like Jehoshaphat, just like Gideon. They're going to kill each other off. And they together shall be against Judah. And for all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. And it continues to talk about these people. Woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees, and to the writers that write perverseness. Boy, we've seen some outright terrible lies being told against God's people, seeking to overthrow God's people. God's going to make a spoil of them. To turn aside the needy from justice. And that's what they're trying to do with their writings and their words, is to plunder people, to turn them aside from the truth and righteousness and justice. To rob the poor of my people of their right. Yeah, they can't partake of the benefits of the kingdom because of their evil hearts, their criticism, unforgiveness, bitterness. They got no boldness towards God, no faith towards God. Oh, yeah, they'll probably take up arms whenever they have to, but they got no faith towards God. And when they put their demons on others, they're robbing the poor of God's people of their right. The widows may be their spoil, that they may make the fatherless their prey. And what will you do in the day of visitation? Oh, what is the day of visitation? This man-child we've been talking about. What will you do in the day of visitation? And in the desolation which shall come from far. Because the desolation and the visitation are the same thing. The man-child has always been the one that spoke these things. To whom will you flee for help? Where will you leave your glory? They shall only bow down unto the prisoners, and shall fall unto the slain. And for all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. The Lord is going to chasten with a mighty hand his people. He's going to bring very swift and strong judgment against his people. He's raising up this country right now to turn away from God. They'll be exercising their authority and their political power in other nations to do the same thing against the Christians. They'll be using the Muslims against the Christians. You watch and see. Not everybody's head's cut off by a guillotine. So chapter 10 and verse 5. Ho, Assyrian, the rod of mine anger, the staff in whose hand is mine indignation. Just remember this, folks. When America rises up to come against the Christians, they are a staff in God's hand. Don't try to stop them. They're going to do their work. I will send him against a profane nation, that's his apostate people, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge. See, you don't have to please anybody but God, saints. You do have to please him. So he's going to give the Assyrian beast a charge to take the spoil, to take the prey. They're going to plunder what we loosely call Christianity. They're going to plunder. It's not called tribulation for nothing. And to tread them down like the mire of the streets. See, some people are ready to flee to another country, but let me tell you something. America has authority and power in all of those countries. The Bible talks about those that fled Babylon, only to be conquered in another country. And, you know, they think they can escape them, but no, it's not going to happen. Howbeit, he meaneth not so. In other words, the Assyrian doesn't believe that this is God. He believes it's his own desire, right? He meaneth not so, neither doth his heart think so. But it is in his heart to destroy and to cut off nations, not a few. Amen. We've been seeing that, haven't we? Cutting off nations. The head of the Assyrian Empire cutting off nations. Yeah. And they're also getting prepared. You know, they're taking up the bullets. Bought up the factories, etc. So that nobody can make war with the beast. They're getting ready to make war against the Christians, saints. He said, the Assyrian said, are not my princes, all of them kings? Is not Calno as Carchemish? Yeah, Carchemish, of course, is where the Assyrians conquered the Egyptians and actually gained the world order. They were now the new world order. And he's saying, hey, these nations ain't nothing compared to Carchemish, yeah. Is not Hamath as Arpad? Is not Samaria as Damascus? In other words, they conquered Damascus and they'll conquer Samaria too. And they did. And they did. Samaria, of course, is God's people, God's apostate people. The northern 10 tribes. As my hand hath found the kingdom of the idols, whose graven images did excel them of Jerusalem and of Samaria. Shall I not, as I have done unto Samaria, still the Assyrian beast speaking here, and her idols, so do to Jerusalem and her idols? Well, the answer is no, you won't. And they found that out, you know. Hey, it wasn't any problem for me to conquer the northern 10 tribes. Will it be any problem for me to conquer Jerusalem? He was saying no. But the answer is no. He's not going to be able to do it, right? That's because of God. Now, what we need to be is holy. Vessels of God. You know, there's people around you, saints, that are depending upon you to be a good influence on them and good leadership to them. If you're walking in apostasy, you're going to do nothing but drag them down. Their blood will be on your hands, right? Repent and turn to the Lord. Obey Him every word He says. Be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Serve Him. Lose your life so you can gain your life, right? Wherefore, it shall come to pass that when the Lord hath performed his whole work upon Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, because they did come up there and persecute them, barricade them, and so on and so forth, but they weren't able to do anything to them. When he's through persecuting Zion and Jerusalem, the man-child and the bride, right? He said, I will punish the fruit of the stout heart of the king of Assyria. So, I mean, these false prophets out there that are saying that America's going to fall, America's going to do this and that, you know, no, that ain't going to happen. The Lord needs America as the head of the Assyrian Empire in our day to conquer God's people. As Nineveh, as I saw years ago, Nineveh was the head of the Assyrian Empire. And the glory of his high looks, when he gets through perfecting Zion, he's going to punish the king of Assyria and his high looks. When he's through, by the way, when he's through conquering the church, but not able to conquer the bride, able to bring them to their cross, yes, but not conquer them, then when God's finished with his work, he's going to judge America and the nations that are the rest of the body of that beast, right? And the glory of his eye looks. For he has said, by the strength of my hand I have done it, and I by my wisdom, for I have understanding. Yeah, there's going to be some really proud people over America and over the world, thinking that they've done what they wanted to do. But all the time, the Lord was guiding them to do that. You can't lose if you go with God. You can't win if you don't. Because it's God. God is behind everything. He's behind the curse. He's behind the devil. He's behind the beast to bring his people to their cross. Just as it says of Jesus in Acts. And I have removed the bounds of the people and have robbed their treasures. Yep, God's people are going to be plundered. They've been storing up things and storing up ammo, storing up guns, storing up food. Oh, they can see it coming. They can see it coming. But that's just more plunder. And like a valiant man, I have brought down them that sit on thrones. My hand hath found as a nest the riches of the peoples. And as one gathereth eggs that are forsaken, have I gathered all the earth. What are people going to do with all that gold and silver that they're storing up? What do you think God's going to do? And there was none that moved the wing or that opened the mouth or chirped like a bird. He didn't dare say a word against the king of Assyria. He was overwhelmingly bigger than them. And so is the beast in our day, saints. Think about it. How big is the beast? If God's not on your side, you are sunk, right? Shall the axe boast itself against him that heweth therewith? Shall the saw magnify itself against him that wieldeth it? As if a rod should wield them that lift it up. Or as if a staff shall lift up him that is not wood. Yet nobody's going to move God. It's the other way around. He uses all vessels of honor and all vessels of dishonor for his work of creating sons of God. All of them. Therefore will the Lord of hosts send among his fat ones leanness. And under his glory there shall be kindled a burning like the burning of fire. Reckon it's kind of like the burning bush. And the light of Israel will be for a fire, and his Holy One for a flame. Now there's the burning bush, right? I remember Deb Horton had a dream that there was a circle of hedge. It's a thorny thorn bush, you know. But there was one space missing, and she looked up in the sky, and here comes down a burning bush to make up the hedge. The Lord said he sought for a man to make up the hedge. Well, he found Moses. He found David. He found Joseph. He found Jesus. He found the man child. You see, get my point? And this was a hedge of protection. That's why it was thorn bushes. Those bushes were thorn bushes. The protection, you don't have protection unless the Lord makes up the hedge. The enemy can come through. Right? And the light of Israel will be for a fire, and his Holy One for a flame. And it will burn and devour his thorns and his briars in one day. Wow. Well, you know, he's just got through calling the thorns and the briars apostate Israel, which is the church. And he will consume the glory of his forest and of his fruitful field, both soul and body. So now you can see that the fruitful field is his people, right? And his forest is his people, both soul and body. And it shall be as when a standard bearer fainteth. And the remnant of the trees of his forest shall be few, so that a child may write them. There's going to be a remnant. A remnant shall return. Shear Jashub, right? Remnant shall. There's going to be a remnant that's going to come out from among the apostates. Right? And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and they that are escaped of the house of Jacob. Escaped what? The beast. How are you going to escape the beast? You got to be holy. There's nothing else that will work. Nothing else. You can't. There ain't enough guns and bullets to escape the beast. You got to be holy. God's the only one that can help us. They that are escaped of the house of Jacob shall no more again lean upon him that smote them, but shall lean upon the Lord. They won't trust in man. They won't run to man. They won't run to man's salvation, his doctors, his lawyers, his government. They won't trust none of anything that has to do with man. Lean upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth, in truth. And here's the Hebrew word, Shear Jashub. It's translated this time. A remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. O glory be to God. For though thy people Israel be as the sands of the sea, only a remnant, or actually only wasn't in there, the sands of the sea, a remnant of them shall return. Doesn't tell you how big the remnant is. I'm praying for a big remnant. They're going to return, as God said. We had a dream. I forget who had the dream, but these guys were basically beating me to death till I was bloody and dead. And they walked off very happy with themselves. Of course, it's talking spiritually speaking. You know, they've defamed me and so on and so forth. And then they came back to God, and they were trying to hook up the wagon to go forth into the harvest, and I was there helping them hook up the wagon. And I thought, that's neat, you know, because I'm not holding anything against anybody. I'm ready for God's people to come back. I don't care what they've done. I don't care what they've said. It don't make me any difference whatsoever. I'm just going to be happy for a great remnant of them to return to God. A destruction is determined, overflowing with righteousness. Oh yeah, God's not going to do anything wrong, saints. I mean, he's going to judge the wicked among his people, but he's not going to do anything wrong or unrighteous. It's going to be overflowing with righteousness. For a full end, and that determined, will the Lord, Jehovah of hosts, make in the midst of all the earth. Therefore, thus saith the Lord. The Lord of hosts, O my people that dwellest in Zion, be not afraid of the Assyrian. It's the same thing he said back at the beginning, right? Be not afraid of the Assyrian, though he smite thee with the rod, and lift up his staff against thee, after the manner of Egypt. For yet a very little while, and the indignation against thee shall be accomplished, and mine anger shall be directed to his destruction. What is this all about? It's all about the cross, saints. Everybody's got to go to the cross. No one is going to escape that isn't dead. Dead to self, right? And mine anger shall be directed to his destruction. You want to see the end of the persecution of the beast against God's people? Well, be holy. That's how you can see it. He's telling you right there. This is very clear. When the indignation against thee, that is against our old man, shall be accomplished, mine anger shall be directed to his destruction. And the Lord of hosts will stir up against him a scourge, as in the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Oreb. Yep. Okay, so we see that again. That's the second time we've seen that. His rod will be over the sea. He will lift it up after the manner of Egypt. Well, what does that mean? Well, just think about Moses when he lifted up the rod and parted the Red Sea and God's people passed through and the beast that chased them tried to, but the sea came back upon them, right? Destroyed them all. So when God was through using the Egyptians to purify and crucify Israel, he used that rod to destroy them. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall depart from off of thy shoulders. Yep. They're all dead in the dead Red Sea, right? And his yoke from off of thy neck. And this is true of the faction too, saints. There, we had a dream about them all in red suits, like Esau, parachuting out of the sky. In other words, losing their position in the heavenlies, chasing us into the wilderness. Can you imagine? I think that was Garrett's dream. Yeah, that's Garrett's dream. It was very good, very good, very. Very, these people think they're going to chase us into the wilderness. I got to tell you, the Lord's got a rod, and he's giving it to his man-child. And yeah, he's going to part the Red Sea, but it's coming back. And the yoke shall be destroyed by reason of fatness. Amen. The yoke. The yoke about your neck. Those that want to rule over you. Right? He has come to Aeth. He is passed through Migron. At Mishmash. These are all cities north of Jerusalem that the beast passed through to come up and assault Jerusalem, they thought. He layeth up his baggage. They're gone over the pass. They have taken up their lodging at Geba. Ramah trembleth. Gibeah of Saul is fled. Cry aloud with thy voice, O daughter of Galim. Hearken, O Lashia, O thou poor Anathoth. Madmena is a fugitive. The inhabitants of Gibeon flee for safety. This very day shall he halt at Nob. He shaketh his hand at the mount of the daughter of Zion, the hill of Jerusalem. What's he saying? I'm going to get you. But he's wrong. Behold, the Lord, Jehovah of hosts, will lop the boughs with terror, and the high of stature shall be hewn down, and the lofty shall be brought low, and he will cut down the thickets of the forest with iron, and Lebanon shall fall by a mighty one. And, of course, he's talking about the beast attempting to take out the kingdom of God, because the rest of the people weren't the kingdom of God. That's the reason they were able to take him out. They weren't walking in the Spirit, and they weren't living under the kingdom, because they rebelled against their king. And they factioned against the son of David, just as they factioned against David. And so, of course, this is talking about that 185,000 being wiped out, you know. And also, as we can see, like the Red Sea, those people who have a hatred for God's people, while they call themselves God's people, they have a hatred for God's people. Can you imagine? It's crazy, isn't it? But it's nothing different than what's happened throughout all history. It was always the religious who claimed to be God's people, who persecuted the saints and brought them to maturity. They do a good work, but they don't realize they're vessels of dishonor and going to split hell wide open without repentance, right? And then, once again, he brings us back to this child. You know, but God declared that except we become as a child, we won't enter the kingdom of God. This is not a child, except the fact that it's small. It's not a child in the ways of wisdom and power and anointing. It's coming to bring peace to those who will listen. It is the Prince of Peace in a body of believers. But as you read here, you can see that that's the job. And he uses as a type David of old. And there shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse. That's the cut down stump of Jesse. And a branch, that's the branch, there it is, that's the man child. Out of his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom. All these things we pray for, saints. We need, we want, we pray for. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge after the sight of his eyes. Wouldn't you love to totally walk there in the kingdom? To do only those things you hear of your Father, right? To say only those things that he has said to you. And that's what God is offering to those who seek him. He shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither decide after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. This is not talking about Jesus, but Jesus in the man-child. Just like Moses smote Egypt, right? With the rod of his mouth and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his waist, faithfulness the girdle of his loins. You remember the Korah rebellion? How that Moses prophesied that the earth would open up and swallow up Korah and all of his. And when it happened, the rest of the people who had wisely stepped back from Korah, or they'd have been swallowed too because they were warned by Moses, they stepped back, and of course, Korah and all his got swallowed up. And they said, what? Complained against Moses that he had killed the people of the Lord. Do you think the man child in our day is going to do that too? I guarantee it. I guarantee it. But it won't be them. They do only those things that they see of their father. They're only obedient vessels. But they've come to bring peace. Without righteousness, there is no peace. There is no peace to the wicked, saith the Lord. And it says right here in verse 6, and the wolf shall dwell with the lamb. Total peace between those that had been predators and those that had been victims. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. Wow. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. Praise God. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. I know they're talking about, people say, oh, this is in the millennium. No, it's not. You go back and study the dream I had many years ago. I think it was in 2009. Yeah, I think so. Where the Father was giving me this place for his people to escape the judgments that were coming upon the world. And he was giving me a lot of money to take care of his people. And I know he's already done that, but it's nothing like what he's getting ready to do. That was just the test. That was just the test to see if I was going to handle that the way he wanted me to. And I did. Some people accuse me of not, but I did, because they don't know. But anyway, there were animals just like this on that property, and they were at total peace with one another. And I looked out past the boundaries of the land, and I saw catastrophe after catastrophe coming upon the world. And these animals, like fleeing to the ark, you know, these animals were coming on the property, and these were the Gentile church. And they were total peace. Some of them truly had been predators at one time, but they were now at peace. Or they couldn't have come there. This is what this is talking about. And the suckling child shall play at the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. That's Zion. In Zion, they're all at peace. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord. Now, if you're not at peace with your brother, you don't belong in Zion. If you've got anger or criticism or unforgiveness towards your brother, you do not belong in Zion. So you must repent, because that's the only people that are going to escape the beast. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, and the waters cover the sea, as the waters cover the sea. And it shall come to pass in that day that the root of Jesse that standeth for the ensign of the peoples, unto him shall the nations seek. And his resting place shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will set his hand again the second time recover the remnant of his people that remain, that shall remain from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea, which of course we are. And he will set up an ensign for the nations and will assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. He is bringing them back to their land. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart. Praise God. They will have repented. And they that vex Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. And they shall fly down upon the shoulders of the Philistines on the west. Together shall they despoil the children of the east. They shall put forth their hand upon Edom and Moab. And the children of Ammon shall obey them. The Lord will utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea. And with his scorching wind will he wave his hand over the river and smite it into seven streams, and cause men to march over dry shod. And there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people that remain from Assyria, like as there was for Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. Oh, hallelujah! Isn't that good news, saints? Praise be to God. The other day, actually a couple of days ago, I received this text. 2 Chronicles, chapter 13. And Abijah, who was the son of David, was speaking for Jerusalem and for the people of God and for God himself. When Jeroboam, the faction, the one who factioned God's people away from the true leadership of David and Jerusalem, was attacking them. They came to attack them. And from verse 4 on down, Abijah stood up and he reminded them, in verse 5, "Ought ye not to know that the Lord, the God of Israel, gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever, even to him and to his sons, by a covenant of salt? Yet Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the servant of Solomon, the son of David, rose up and rebelled against his Lord." And that's happening today. "And there were gathered unto him worthless men," and that's happening today, "base fellows, that strengthened themselves against Rehoboam, the son of Solomon," which is also the son of David, right? "When Rehoboam was young and tender-hearted, and could not withstand them. And now you think to withstand the kingdom of the Lord in the hand of the sons of David, and you are a great multitude, and there are with you the golden calves which Jeroboam made you for gods. Have you not driven out the priests of the Lord, the sons of Aaron, and the Levites, and made you priests after the manner of the peoples of other lands, so that whosoever cometh to consecrate himself with a young bullock and seven rams, the same may be a priest of them that are no gods?" In other words, I'll make you a priest. You just bring enough critters over here, and I'll make you a priest, right? For a price, right? "But as for us, the Lord is our God. We have not forsaken him, and we have priests ministering unto the Lord, the sons of Aaron, and the Levites," that's the ordained ministers, right, "in their work. And they burn unto the Lord every morning and every evening." They got a continual burnt offering of their flesh, right? Amen. "And a sweet incense. The showbread also set they in order upon the pure table, the candlestick of gold with the lamps thereof, to burn every evening. For we keep the charge of the Lord our God." Oh, praise God. But you have forsaken him. And behold, God is with us at our head. And his priests, in other words, you guys are coming against us, and we've got the God at our head. And you're apostates? That's what he's basically saying to them. With the trumpets of alarm to sound an alarm against you, the children of Israel, fight ye not against Jehovah, the God of your fathers, for you shall not prosper. But Jeroboam caused an ambushment to come about behind them. Well, they're good at that. The faction is really good at that. Backstabbing. They won't talk to your face. They'll backstab you. So, they were before Judah, and the ambushment was behind them. And when Judah looked back, behold, the battle was before and behind them. And they cried unto the Lord, and the priests sounded with the trumpets. And the men of Judah gave a shout. As the men of Judah shouted, it came to pass. Remember, Gideon's army, his little band, gave a shout? Or do you remember, when they had encompassed the fortress, when they entered into the promised land, and they gave a shout and the walls fell down of Jericho? This was a victory shout. And as the men of Judah shouted, it came to pass that God smote Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. And the children of Israel fled before Judah, and God delivered them into their hand. And Abijah and his people slew them with a great slaughter, so there fell down slain of Israel 500,000 chosen men. 500,000! Wow! That's a lot of people. Thus the children of Israel were brought under at that time, and the children of Judah prevailed, because they relied upon the Lord, the God of their fathers. And Abijah pursued after Jeroboam, and took cities from him, Bethel, and the towns thereof, and Jeshanah, and the towns thereof, and Ephron, and the towns thereof. Neither did Jeroboam recover strength again in the days of Abijah. And the Lord smote him, and he died. But Abijah waxed mighty. He's a mighty waxer, right? He waxed mighty, and he took unto himself 14 wives, oh my goodness, and begat 20 and 2 sons and 16 daughters, and the rest of the acts of Abijah and his ways and his sayings are written in the commentary of the prophet Iddo. Praise the Lord. And the Lord gave me this, I think it was 2 days ago, 3 days ago, I'm not sure. But it fits our passage here. Because God did give the kingdom to David and his sons, and he's determined to show who the David is, he will. Who the Davids are, he will. And because they're going to win. The apostates can't win, and that's exactly what Abijah was pointing out. You guys are apostates. How can you win? God is not with you. You've rebelled against him. You don't have a sacrifice, etc., etc. Well, Father, Lord, we thank you so much, Lord. We ask, Lord, that your people would come awake. Just like Nebuchadnezzar, who was eating the grass of the field like a beast, with the mind of a beast, and he didn't even know it, because he was demon-possessed. Lord, I pray that you will awaken your people from their stupor and help them to understand that they need to flee quickly to you. The beast is coming. And to put them on their cross, it's so much easier to follow the Lord. Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name to grant repentance to your people. Do a mighty work. Grant a wonderful revival in their midst and deliver them out of captivity, Father. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Deliver your people out of captivity, Father. In the name of Jesus. Father, grant us grace. Lord, you said that out of Zion was going to go forth the word. And that this evangelism was going to go forth to Israel, your people. Lord, we just pray that you'll do a quick work, Lord. The beast is mounting an attack all around us. We can see it happening, Lord. We're asking for your grace, your wisdom, your mercy, Lord. Lord, we love you and we praise you, Lord. Draw us unto you, Father. Give us a desire to serve you, a desire to lose our life, to gain our higher life, the life of Jesus Christ, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Let it be, O Lord, let it be. We ask it in Jesus' name, and we thank you for it, Father. Amen.